traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome to the International Equine Network. This is Scott Miller bringing you today the International Equine Report every Thursday afternoon on BBS Radio at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And what we do here on International Equine Report is we kind of go over all the happening things that are going on for the week and the weekend that's coming up. And just try to, you know, give everybody a little insight to what's going on, where to go, what to do. The best thing that I can say, you start off today with is that you go in and to your computer and you Google equestrian events in my area. And whatever area you're in, it'll pop up and you'll see where they have horse shows, horse racing, horse sales, you name it, they have it. And it'll tell you for all of you, all close to you. And then you can go out and take it, take a look and see what all's going on. And 95% of the events that you go to are usually free. And it makes it an interesting afternoon for you and the family to go out and see just what the equestrian world's like in your area. And you'd be surprised how many things that are there that you probably don't really see and know about until you Google. Just Google equestrian events for your area. And you can go out and take a good look at them. Here in South Florida, we got them all over. We got show horses. We got race horses. We got sales. You name it, we have it here. In fact, at Sunshine Meadows, where we're broadcasting from in Delray Beach, Florida, we just recently had a art show, an equestrian art show, and it was really nice. It was really good. I have a lot of good artists that come out to see, bring their paintings and their sculptures out, and I didn't realize we had that kind of talent laying right here locally. And some of these paintings were just unbelievable. Everybody had a good time. A lot of the artists here will be back coming back in the next couple of months. And so, you know, it's kind of good. And in fact, some of the two or three of the artists, they got commissioned to do portraits of some of our horse people that are here with their horses. So that was nice. And that's one of the things that pops up on equestrian events when you Google it. In our area is what we do here. And speaking of Sunshine Meadows, we're getting ready to wind down our season. It pretty much ends in April, 1st of May. Everybody heads back up north with their standard bred horses to train and race up there and spend the summer months up there. And we won't see our standard bred people back until the end of September next year. Or this year, they'll be coming back to get all their babies ready and to rest up their horses for the next season. And we've got about, I'd say probably 350 horses that have left here in the last couple of weeks. And we got about 100 left that'll be going here in the next week or so, going back up to Pennsylvania and New York and Indiana and Ohio, you know, to compete in the standard bred industry. So that'll happen. And then we've got a group of show horses here that will be going back up north to compete in Maryland and Pennsylvania and New York and Kentucky, that type of thing. You know, they'll be going up for that. And they usually go up for 2 or 3 weeks, and then they come back here to Sunshine Meadows, and then they'll be here for another 3 or 4 weeks, and then they go back up north, depending on the level of competition that they're showing in. So, you know, we get kind of thin here this time of year. It gives us a chance to get the farm ready for next year and make any improvements or do the things that need to be done to make it easier for our clients to train and attend and live here next year. It's really exciting, you know, to get the summertime over and get them back, you know, but it slows down, but it speeds up, that type of thing. And then we have Palm Beach Downs where we have our thoroughbred training facility. It's also located here in Delray Beach, and that's close to Sunshine Meadows. We're only 2 miles away. It's just down the road from us a little bit. And all the horses that are there are getting ready to go back up north to run in Kentucky and Maryland and New York and Chicago, and be going up to Saratoga to run. You know, it's getting interesting this time of year because it's Derby time. And we'll have a good contingency running in the Derby at Churchill Downs in the first Saturday of May, coming from out of the Todd Pletcher barn. And that's going to be very interesting. And speaking of Todd, he just finished running over in Dubai and had some success over there. Not like what we hoped it would be, but he was against a lot of good horses. And so he did his best, and that's all we could ask for. Had a nice third in the $12 million cup. And, you know, we can't complain about that. He just ran into a bunch of good horses, and, you know, it just wasn't our day there. It wasn't a bad day. It was, you know, it was a good day, but it would be nice to win. But, you know, we didn't. And so it was kind of exciting for that. And now Todd's getting ready to go up to Kentucky with a good group of horses to race at Keeneland and to Churchill and get ready for, you know, Derby week up there, which comes in another month. And I'm kind of excited because I have a little interest in a horse that Todd's training called Ironworks, and a nice 3-year-old colt, distorted humor colt. He went his first time out at Gulfstream going 6 furlongs, and he won pretty easy. And then Todd brought him back in a mile about a month later, and he ran third. He was green. He was learning the ropes, as you say. He had some things that were, you know, new to him that he went through. But he adjusted well, and he was closing at the end. And fortunately, he wasn't catching a bunch of slow horses. He was catching a bunch of good horses. And that kind of got us excited. And Todd decided to next time out to put blinkers on him. We were pointing him towards the Florida Derby, and then kind of came to the realization that he's not at that stage yet. And instead of trying to throw him in, you know, to the wolves, as they say, Todd decided to pull him back a little bit, and we'll ship him out tomorrow. To go to Keeneland, and he will run on the ninth of April at Keeneland. It's on a Saturday, and it'll be an allowance race that he'll run up there, and that'll help school him a little bit and bring him along. So we're kind of excited about that to see where he goes. I would like to see him do good at Keeneland on the ninth, come back and run on Derby Day in an undercard race, and then point towards the Preakness. Yeah, so that's what I look at. But, you know, the reality of it is that, you know, that might not happen. And if it doesn't, we're displeased with the way he's doing, way he's running now. And so that's kind of exciting. He's only had 2 starts, and he's got a first and a third. So, you know, he does know the game a little bit, and hopefully he'll improve off of that here over the next month, and you'll tell him what can happen and everything. But nevertheless, you know, we're pleased with, you know, what's going on there with him. And then we have Delray Equestrian. They have a lot of good horses over there. They do a lot of AQHA events. They do a lot of events up at Wellington. And it's just really an exciting time for us here because everybody's doing their disciplines and their racing and doing their shows and everything. And that makes it nice for us here, you know, in South Florida. We like to see more people get involved with us down here to just see what all is going on, you know, here in South Florida. So it would be, you know, exciting for us to do that. You know, I just can't express the thanks to all of our clients that we've had, all the riders, all the horse people that we've had here. Over the winter, made a lot of new friends, got a lot of new horses that'll be coming back. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what goes on. And speaking of, you know, the show horse industry in Wellington, Wellington has been sold to a company out of Europe. It's just unbelievable what they're going to be doing at Wellington in the coming year. It was nice as it is. It's going to even get better next year. And they're kind of ending up the season here in April with a show that's just unbelievable. It's a $500,000 Rolex Grand Prix. It's going to be really, really interesting. There's about 30 riders that'll be competing in that on Saturday night. And I can't wait for it to get here. We've got the Arkansas Derby. We've got the Jeff Ruby Stakes. We've got the Florida Derby coming up on Saturday day, and then we'll scoot on over to Wellington after we leave the Florida Derby to see the Rolex Grand Prix. And that's an amazing event because you have some of the best riders in the world that are there. And not only do you have just one or two, you got eight or nine that will be very competitive. And it's going to be, a very talented horse that gets them to the winner's circle. And you never can tell. We've got a lot of upcoming stars in the show horse industry that are starting to push these older veterans, to a whole nother level. And that's what we like about it because we have some of those stars here at Sunshine Meadows. And it's going to be hopefully a good weekend for us all the way around. It's going to have 40 of the most elite horses and riders combinations in the world will be here. It's the Globe Comp Equestrian Sports Productions. I'm just so excited to have that company here and the people here. They've retained all the rights to everything at Wellington. From the vendors on, so they're going to make it. They're going to build it and make it a show place that'll be second to none. And that's going to be hard to do because Wellington was already good. It's even going to get better now. I was excited. The $500,000 Rolex Grand Prix takes place and it starts at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, April 2nd. Though originally scheduled for a 1 p.m. move, 1 p.m., it was moved up due to forecast of inclement rain that afternoon or weather that afternoon. So that's going to be, a play-by-ear thing. They'll still have it, but that's why they moved it up. Gates will open at 10 a.m. First horse will be on course at 11 a.m. The Global Pavilion and Tiki Pavilion for VIP members will open at that time. So, if you're VIP, you can get in there early. It'll be good. I'm just so excited about it. That's at 13500 South Shore Boulevard in Wellington to go up to. Just go on up there and take a look and see what it is, and you'll see some of the best horse show jumping in the world, see some of the best riders. You'll see all kinds of celebrities up there. You can't tell who you'll see, but that's up at Wellington at the $500,000 Grand Prix, Rolex Grand Prix. And speaking of Rolex, Rolex is only 3 weeks away in Lexington. So you got to be sure to get down to Lexington to the horse park to see the Rolex. And Keeneland will be open, so you can spend a day or two over at Rolex, and then you can go over to Keeneland to the races at Keeneland Racecourse for the Thoroughbreds. And what I like about the Rolex is they have a thing now that they're kind of just taken up from every which way, shape, or form. That you can get somebody into a venue to make it easier for them. They make parking easier. They have shuttle buses or shuttle golf carts type thing that will get you back and forth to the venue. But at the Rolex, 3-day Rolex in Lexington, they have for, I think it's like $25 to $50 a day, you can get a headset like they have for NASCAR, and you can walk around all the grounds, and it tells you who's riding where, what horse is on course. They can tell you about the food vendors. They can tell you about everything on there, and it's kind of, and you just put them on and you just stroll through the horse park, and it tells you what's going on, when and where. And what I like about that is you don't waste a lot of time running around, you know, trying to find something, because you have it on a headset, and they're telling you where it's at, and they're telling you who's on course, and they're telling you the times that they're running, and you know, they just tell you any and everything that you need to know about the 3-day Rolex. And let me tell you, when you're on a big facility like that, having that headset is really good. It's really good to be at, you know, to do that. So that's at Kentucky. That's at the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky. And so now we're talking about the World Equestrian Center fact sheet in Ocala, Florida. And this place is just another one. It's going to be a direct competitor with Wellington International. And I'm really excited about going up here again to see this place. They put it together with the horseman in mind. And the horseman in mind is really, really something, you know, that these venues are starting to take into consideration. And they actually are getting out to do things like me, for example, here in Delray. There's three venues that we have here. And one of my jobs is probably, other than picking up trash, one of my jobs here is to make sure that our clients, you know, are being taken care of well. And I kind of act like a liaison between our clients and our riders and our employees to the manager and to the owner of the farm. And that kind of helps soften the blow to upper management by finding out what's wrong, giving that information to our management, and then our management can come around and correct it and take care of whatever needs to be done. And also that's one of the things that I do here, and to help, get out information about our facility and what we do here. And we're so lucky here because usually every year we're filled up. And it's kind of nice to know that you're going to be filled and you can spend a lot of time on taking care of the clients and the people that come here and to do that. So we like that. But the World Equestrian Center in Ocala is just taking the industry by storm. And same thing in Tryon. Same thing, at Wellington International here. They're getting kind of competitive to get those top class owners and trainers and equestrians of the world. For example, at the World Equestrian Center, the Equestrian Hotel has 5 floors, has 248 rooms, handicap accessible to 67 rooms. You check in at 4 p.m. and check out at 12 p.m. So that makes an easy day for you to get in and out. They have handicap accessibility, 248 rooms, 5 floors, and so that accommodates a lot of people, you know, when you're there. And it makes it nice because you're right on the grounds there. When you get off, all you got to do is go down and get you a dealer golf cart and take off and see the park, what you have to do. Another thing that all the parks and facilities and all breeds are starting to take into consideration is the RV. At the World Equestrian Center RV Park, they have 280 RV slips that they have there. They have water, power, and sewer hookups provided for each slip that they have there. They have a general store and a fuel station. They have shower facilities and a laundromat. So that covers everything that you need when you're in your RV, especially like with the showers, for example, it's really nice because instead of running your tanks all out and filling your tanks all up, they've got a beautiful shower facility there, very private, very first class, something that you really look for. And so that's what I like about that. Now we have, they also have a home away from home. They have 70 units. There's 3-bedroom, 2-bath, full kitchen and dining area, sleeper sofa and washer and dryer. Now this is an equestrian RV, facility that's shown year round. 70 units, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, full kitchen, dining area, sleeper sofa, and a washer and dryer. What more could you ask for? You couldn't ask for anything more than that. They have it right there. Another thing that they've taken into consideration is other events that they could have there other than equestrian events. They have an exposition center there. It's really nice. I tell you, it's just unbelievable the things they have there. They've got the LED walls. They got the 4-sided LED screen systems there. So whatever event's going on, you'll be able to see no matter where you're at in the exposition center. They have an array of things there that just it's hard to believe when you start talking about it. It's connected to the Equestrian Hotel, open-air stadium for 1,500 spectators with 2 LED walls, World Equestrian Center Stadium, open-air stadium for 7,000 spectators. So you're talking about a tremendous amount of people that will be available there, to get in and see these equestrian events. You know, you're talking about 9,000-10,000 people, just there at the convenience of the World Equestrian Center. The services that they have there, a dedicated loading dock at each exposition center, multiple freight doors for each exposition center, dedicated event management team, on-site AV production, on-site IT team, and convenient on-site parking. So they literally take care of everything that you're doing there for you, and they get it out there like there is no tomorrow. They can cater to every need that you have, and that's what we do here at IANTV, is we try to produce programming that will connect you to any event like the World Equestrian Center or Wellington or the Kentucky Derby, Preakness, Belmont, or the Sales. We act as a distribution point to where you can come to our website. You can click on to Quest for Equine Gold, and you can find out about all the show horse events that are going on in the country that week. You can go to At the Wire, and you can watch all the racing from Churchill, Keeneland, New York, California, Eastern Europe, Asia. You name it, we can be there. And let me tell you, some of the programming that they have come out of Eastern Europe is really interesting to see. It's laid back. It's not very modern, but it's still racing and they're still trying to produce a product to get out to the equestrian world. So those are the kind of things that we have on our website. Amenities and enhancements that they have at World Equestrian Center in Ocala. Business centers located on the 3rd and 5th floor of the Equestrian Hotel, on-site parking services, in-room dining. So you can literally get everything done when you're there at the hotel, not have to go out for anything other than to, be at the event live there. The recreational facilities that they have, they got an outdoor pool and splashboard. They have walking and jogging paths, a salon and spa, 24-hour fitness center, sand volleyball court. And so they take care of all the things that you can go and do and relax after your event, been displayed. And after you participated in your event, you can go out and just relax and really enjoy the facilities there. Then this is the best thing about this place. I've traveled so many miles over the years and done so many places of racing mostly, but the show horse industry and all the other things. And it's very difficult to get a place to go eat, because for most of the horsemen, when you go to an area, didn't matter, what discipline you're in, the horsemen usually have a hangout. And it could be anywhere from, a TGI Fridays to Flanagan's that we have here in South Florida, to all different types of restaurants. But the horsemen usually, gravitate to one or two facilities or restaurants in that area. And let me tell you, sometimes it can get crowded. So the World Equestrian Center decided that they would do some restaurants. These restaurants include indoor and outdoor dining, which is really great. They have Emma's, Philo's, Yellow Pony, Miss Tilly Lollipops, Ralph's Burgers and Sandwich Shops, Stirrup's Restaurant, Viola and Dot's Italian Kitchen and Pizzeria, and Yellow Pony Pub and Garden. They literally cover any and every type of food that you could want there at the World Equestrian Center. And they're moderately priced, too, so it's really kind of nice, to get to a facility where they have all that. So once you get to the World Equestrian Center, you don't have to leave for anything, not a thing. They got everything that you could possibly, think of, right there. And so we're kind of excited about it. Starting on the 2nd of April, we have the Ocala Arabian Amateur Show on the 14th. The World Equestrian Center Ocala has Dressage 3. On the 14th, they have the National Collegiate Equestrian Association National Championships. Now, that's something that you'd really like to go see there in Ocala. That's on April the 14th. It's the National Collegiate Equestrian Association National Championships. So you're talking about like having the National Championship for football or for basketball. These are the best collegiate equestrian riders in the country that are there. And also on the 14th, in the Dressage Arena, they had Dressage 3, the VIP experience. On the 15th, they have Dressage 3, the VIP experience. And on the 16th of April, they have the Peruvian Paso Horse World Show, which is really an interesting breed to watch. Everybody, it's amazing. I don't understand a lot about it, but I do like to watch it. It's very interesting. On the 20th of April, they have the 2022 A Sudden Impulse NSBA and Futurity Horse Show. Then on the May 4th, they have the Region 12 Arabian Half Arabian Championship Show. May 13th, they have the Florida Paint Horse Club event. And then on the 6th or June 15th, they have the Ocala Summer Series week. That's for Hunkers Level 6. So they got a little bit of everything there, that they have coming up. When you get a place like this, it leads into a lot of different things. For example, the World Equestrian Center is now hiring, and they need help. They're looking for a general store supervisor. They're looking for bartenders. They're looking for a convention service manager. They're looking for a sales manager. They're looking for banquet setup crews, cashier attendants, and a stewarding supervisor. And that's just the list of about 40 jobs that are available there at the work at the center, and they're hiring multiple people for each department. So if you're out of work and looking for a job, the World Equestrian Center is the place to go to. And the great thing about that is most of those jobs, it helps if you're an equestrian, but not necessary, because they need a lot of help there. And especially like in the convention setup people, they're always having things there, and that's a constant job. It's a good paying job, and they're a good company to work for. So that, that's one of the things that, we're looking at here, to see what all is going on, in the horse industry. And now we're going to start getting over into some thoroughbred things that are going on. And one of the things that we're going to talk about right off the bat here, and I'm not going to talk long on it, because to me, this whole situation got to a point to where it shouldn't have been. This thing should have been over and done with a year ago. And you know, it was a kind of like a contest of who was going to outlast who. And if it were me personally, I would have taken the punishment and been over and done with it. You know, they could go on with what they were doing. For example, and the person that I'm talking about is Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert won over in Dubai. Bob trains a lot of good horses. He's a trainer that can get a horse ready for a race. But there were things that assisted him along the way that were against the rules and regulations and racing. And it got to a point to where it became a real problem. And with Medina Spirits, last year's Kentucky Derby winner tested positive for a drug. And it's not how it first came out of how it was administered to the horse. There were four or five different scenarios that it could have been. And it got into one of those, you know, could have been this, could have been that. You know, I didn't do it. He did it. She did it. Who's doing it type of thing. Nevertheless, under the rules and regulations, state regulations in the state of Kentucky, the horse tested positive for a banned substance. Therefore, he had to relinquish all the money and the first place victory in the Kentucky Derby. That was all taken away from him. And so now they got into court battles, and it's been going on for years, back and forth, into courts, and it's little things. Like this last one was, well, should the ruling from the state of Kentucky, should it have come out of Fayette County or should it have come out of Jefferson County in Louisville, where the Derby was at, or where, you know, the court trial actually took place? It kind of got into one of those things, and it's still into that. Nevertheless, Bob is not going to be able to race horses in Kentucky for the next 2 years. He lost the Kentucky Derby. It was taken away from him. And so that's said and done. And the thing that's going on now is just kind of a desperate man grasping at a straw in an ocean. It's just not going to happen, you know, for it. And since he's ruled off in Kentucky for 2 years and his suspension is to be start April the 4th, he will not be allowed to have any horses on the grounds or race in Kentucky at all. That's the law. That's the fact. That's going to happen with it. And so now, having said that, Maryland has followed suit with that. If you're going to, if you are under investigation or if you are suspended by another state outside the Maryland jurisdiction, they have reciprocity. And he will not be able to run for 2 years in the Preakness. And again, they're just following suit. Then Belmont, the Belmont Stakes in New York has reciprocity, and they are not going to allow Bob to run in New York or the Belmont Stakes or Saratoga. So that's the fact. Now he has to remove all his horses from California racetracks and give them out to other trainers that are not employed by him or associated with him. So they're going to have to do that. They have to remove all signage of the Baffert stable from all the tracks. You can't have anything like that. So basically, he can't have anything to do in the thoroughbred industry in the United States, for the next 2 years. So, but we're policing the industry. There were six trainers in New York that weren't given stalls so they could race at Belmont or Aqueduct or Saratoga for various violations. And so now the states have cleaned up the sport. Whenever you go to see a horse race, you know it's going to be legitimate. They're going to follow the rules. And if they don't follow the rules, they're going to get gone. And that's the long and short of it. No matter who you are, no matter how small the violation is, you will be held to the rules and regulations of the state racing commissions. And so that's a positive sign for the business. I hate to see it happen to people like that, but you know, if you don't police your own barn and your own self, then you deserve what you get. And I think that they've proven that right now in Kentucky and the rest of the state. And my hat's off to those jurisdictions that did that. You know, so that's all I got to say on it. Looking forward to a good year in racing this year, good, honest, clean year that we will have coming up. Now, we get down into Last Call, one of our shows that we have. And they had the two-year-old training sale in Gulfstream Park. The select sale saw a smaller catalog of only 103 horses, with fewer horses entering up under the hammer. Fastest Tipton reported 35 horses from the 52 offered changed hands at a 67.3% clearance rate for the gross receipts of $13,155,000. The average sale of the horse, the horses at Gulfstream sale were $375,000. The medium was $300,000. 17 horses went unsold, represented an RNA of 32%, reserve not met. So the meaning that the horses went into the ring and the owners of the horses had a price set on it. Nobody bid that price, so they took the horse back to the farm. That's what an RNA is, reserve not accepted. And also, that's pretty good. It's better than average. I was really surprised at some of these. And we keep telling our listeners out there, see, you could have gone down to Gulfstream Track. Here it is, Florida Derby Week. You could have gone to the sales yesterday, and you could have seen all the horses and be part of Florida Derby Week and really have a good time. Last year, 67 horses sold of 105, and they were offered at $25,360,000 was the gross. An average of $378,000, and the medium then was also $300,000. So that was a little bit of improvement, but steady. I would say it didn't go down, didn't go up, but it was very, very good. I was excited about it. And then you get out here and you start looking at these horses and they breezed at Gulfstream a couple of days beforehand. And, it's just unbelievable, how these horses sell. One gentleman, the Waver Tree Stable spent $3,920,000. They were the top leading consigner. So they're in it for serious. The Miami atmosphere, really helps a lot of that. What can you say, about that? It was just a great sales that anybody, could have gone to, the general public could have gone to and saw. It was really good. Our future Derby horses were coming out of there. So a year from now, a lot of the horses that sold there to Gulfstream, they might be in the Derby picture. So now we're going to start talking a little bit here about the Kentucky Derby. We're down to the end of our Derby prep races here in the United States, Europe, and China. And so you got to have enough points to get in, and they just can't do it, if you don't have the points. So, it's not desperate, but, it's one of those things that are, everybody's pointing towards. And one of the things that concerned me about this year's Derby prep schedule was nothing. I wasn't concerned about anything. They changed a few of the stake races around, moved them to later dates. Like, for example, the Florida Derby has moved to April 2nd and used to be in the mid part of March, around the 15th. And so they're kind of looking and trying to rearrange schedules so that the horsemen can participate in the series of races that lead up to the Florida Derby, like the Fountain of Youth, the Swale Stakes, other stakes that were run in the last few months that kind of points you towards the Kentucky Derby and gets you prepped for the Florida Derby and not have to, you know, worry about spacing out the races and everything. So the race that I was excited about, you know, was the Fairgrounds at the Fairgrounds in New Orleans, Louisiana Derby, which 40 years ago last weekend I was working with Al Baba that won the Louisiana Derby. And so it kind of meant a little something special to me. This race is a $1 million race. It's going a mile and 3/16 on the dirt. And they had a pretty decent field here. And we're going to talk more about the fields here in just a few minutes. But as the whole season came along, we'll talk about all the fields, not just one in particular race. This race, the Louisiana Derby, had a field of 9 horses. They had Rattle and Roll from Kenning McPeak, which was a nice horse. They had Galt, which is really a nice horse for Billy Mott. Then they came in and they had Call Me Midnight for Mr. DeSarmo was there. They had Epic Center for Steve Asmussen, and Todd Pletcher had Pioneer of Medina. And so it was a well-balanced field. They all carried 122 pounds, and it was a good race. It was really a good race. I was really pleased with how it turned out. It turned out the way I thought it was going to turn out. But we'll talk a little bit more about all these races that they have something in common, whether it's Louisiana Derby, the Arkansas Derby, the Tampa Bay Derby. We're going to talk about what it was all in common with them. Epic Center won the race for Steve Asmussen. Nice horse. He won it by 2.5 lengths. He ran a good race. It was a good, strong race, of horses here. Very competitive. It kind of weighed out to the way everybody thought it was going to weigh out. It was a good race. But Steve Asmussen won it. Steve's got quite a few horses in the barn that are ready to make their statement for the Derby, and this might be one of them. He might have this one in the Derby. I think he'd be a good Derby horse. I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think he could win the Derby. And we'll talk all about all what this again goes back to the common thread all these races have now for the Derby prep races throughout the year, back from starting at the Iroquois at Churchill back last fall until the races that we've had up through last Saturday, which one of them was the Louisiana Derby. So now we're looking at the next race that was on the agenda. And I was kind of thinking, hey, maybe, you know, what's the deal here with these horses? Are they all doing the same thing? The Sunland Park Derby, that was a very good race. I was really impressed with the way things went there, and they went pretty much the way I thought they would go. What do you do? You start thinking, like, say, well, did the Derby winner come out of the Sunland Park Derby? No, it didn't, and it won't. It was a good race. Steve Asmussen had some nice horses in there, some good trainers that were in there. Doug O'Neill had Slow Down Andy in the race. Like I said, Steve Asmussen had Caution Terror and Classic Moment in there, and then it was a good race. But at the end of the day, we're sitting there, Slow Down Andy. Slow Down Andy for Doug O'Neill, comes in from California, wins the race. He won it by a half a length. He dueled inside and drifted five wide. So, you know, he got a little tired. He started drifting out. But, it was a good race. It was a $500,000 purse. The track was fast. It was clear, good weather out there. It had no problems at all. It's a mile and an eighth on the dirt. So, again, we're going to get back to this common thread that we're seeing here in all these Derby prep races that started from the Iroquois last year in Churchill, and now they're going through to all these different ones that we have now. We got a couple of good races coming up here this weekend. I was really surprised in who went where and why they went to where they went. We've got three races coming up this weekend. And we're going to start out with at Oaklawn Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Post time for Saturday's Arkansas Derby is 6:35 Central Time, 7:35 Eastern Time. It's $1,250,000, and they're going a mile and an eighth on the dirt. And this is going to be a good race because a lot of these horses you won't see at Churchill that are coming out of here. This is, again, and we're going to talk again about the common thread with all these races. We don't know if the common thread is going to show up here on Saturday or not. We won't know that until Saturday afternoon. If that common thread shows up, then we're getting ready to talk about here in just a few minutes. We have a lot of good horses there in this race. Steve Asmussen's got Chasing Time in there, which is a nice horse. Dallas Stewart has got Ben Diesel, which is a nice horse. It's made a lot of the other races around. But the one that we're going to talk about the most, and I think if this horse runs the way this horse can run, this horse has a huge stride on it. It's a filly called Secret Oath, bred in Kentucky, trained by D. Wayne Lucas. This horse is just phenomenal. She can do just about any and everything that you ask her to do. You know, I was really surprised at how she came around over the year. She's trained by Hall of Famer Dean Wayne Lucas that had Winning Colors that won the Derby. Winning Colors came right out of Arkansas. And she is just a phenomenal horse. Secret Oath is her name. There's a lot about her that nobody has really seen. You'd have to see her on a daily basis training. But this horse, it could go down as one of the best horses that Wayne Lucas has ever trained. And Wayne's won four Kentucky Derbies. So that's in the Arkansas Derby. Come to IENTV.org and you'll be able to see it, or go to OaklawnPark.com to see it. That's going to be a good race. And I tell you what, I think D. Wayne's got her right there. He's not saying much about her. Wayne wouldn't be putting her in there in Arkansas Derby if she couldn't win. If she wins, then she's straight on to the Derby. If she runs good in Arkansas Derby, she could still make that trip to the Kentucky Derby. But if she doesn't, more likely, if she doesn't run the way Wayne thinks she can run, then you'll probably see her in the Kentucky Oaks. And if she runs in the Kentucky Oaks, it's hands down, you know, she's going to win that, you know, for that, for the Oaks. And all, but that's going to be tough. Then we're talking about Turfway Park. It's kind of a, you know, like a smaller race to get to the Kentucky Derby. It's at Turfway Park. Post time's at 6:23 Eastern Time. It's the Jeff Ruby Stakes. It's a grade three. It's got 13 horses in the race. Todd Pletcher's got two in there. It's Swing Shift is one of them, and Royal Spirit is the other. Mike Maker's got the Stolen Base in there. We have Brad Cox has got Tony Port in there. Tis the Bomb, Kenny McPeak, which is really tough. Red Run for Steve Asmussen. So this race is kind of loaded. To be honest with you, I think that this race is going to be wide open. I think that any one of these horses could come up and nail this victory down, get some Derby points, and hopefully get in the Derby. It's a grade three race. But, you know, it's, I don't even know how to explain it. It's kind of one of those races that's like kissing your sister, you might say. You got a lot of good horses here, and you'll see a lot of these horses run on Derby Day in the undercard out of here. The winner out of here, you might see go on, but I really don't see anything in here that jumps out at me that's going to really set me up to, you know, say, hey, yes, this is a Derby winner. Now, The last race today that we're going to talk about here, as the prep races, is the Florida Derby. This is probably one of the most prestigious races that you can race your horse in as a trainer, as a prep race going on to the Derby. They moved it to April 2nd from the middle of March to put it about 4 weeks out of the Kentucky Derby, which is good to help the horsemen. And this race is just set up right to tighten your horse up for the Derby. It's $1 million purse. It's going to mile and an eighth on the turf, and it's going to be interesting to see about this race. Todd Pletcher has a horse in here called Charge It. He just broke his maiden at Gulfstream, so he's very lightly raced, but he's going off as one of the favorites in here, second favorite. There's a lot to be said for this horse, Brian Lynch has a classic Causeway. Simplification was taken out with a torn tendon. We have Mark Cassie's got Papa Cap in it. White Abrero, Tampa Bay Derby winner. We have that in there. This is going to be interesting. And the reason I say this race last to talk about is because of quite a few things in here. One, Todd Pletcher's got a horse in there that is highly respected, and not because he stables with us at our Delray Beach, Palm Beach Downs farm, but it's because of the way he brings horses around. He's won the Florida Derby quite a few times, and he got his horses as a stepping stone to win the Kentucky Derby. So, but having said that, he's lightly raced. Now we're talking about like Classic Causeway that'll be in there. We're talking about Papa Cap will be in there. White Abrario will be in there. And what they had in common, and all these races have had in common, and this is the thread that kind of binds them all together. Tampa Bay Derby, speed rating, one of the slowest speed ratings that they've had in a long time. Slow speed rating. And I'm telling you, you know, when your speed ratings are slow, and, you know, I'm not saying anything against all those horses over there, but I'm telling you, it could have been a best of a bunch of bad horses. That's what it could be. And to show you how I justify saying that is the fact that, when you see those common threads that go throughout and they're all kind of bunched up and no real outstanding stars, nobody that really dominates the three-year-old division at any of the races from last fall at the Iroquois at Churchill through the Breeders' Cup through, you know, to where we are at today. When you don't have that outstanding standout, you start realizing, hey, you know, it could be just about any one of these horses, you know, could win the Arkansas Derby or the Florida Derby or Santa Anita Derby that's coming up, that type of thing. Nobody's really stood out. So we've got three more races next weekend that'll be there. We're talking about the Bluegrass Stakes, the Santa Anita Derby that'll be coming up, and we'll kind of like see. But what you really base everything on is the experts. And when I say the experts in the horse business, I don't mean the trainers. I don't mean the owners. I don't mean the jockeys. I mean the experts. And those are the people that are involved in laying down the odds on these horses in the Derby prep season. It says the final Kentucky Derby future wagers have been postponed until April the 9th. They were supposed to be out on Saturday. But since they've got a few, no real definite winner out there, they moved it to next April 7th and 9th. They'll come out with that book. And when you start having the people, look at things like this, these horses haven't really made an impression on the professional gamblers, the people that set the odds. And usually they have, you know, they have one that's, oh, yeah, this is so-and-so, and he's going to do this because he's, you know, sired by this, and he won this race here in, you know, sporting fashion and all like that. And so that's one thing that it's going to be interesting to see. It says the Future Wagering Selection Committee met Monday and wanted to use a few key horses within the top 23 betting interest, specifically the Philly Secret Oath, who runs Saturday in the Arkansas Derby, and the runner-up in last weekend's UAE Derby, Summer is Tomorrow. The reason that they're doing that, that they're kind of swinging around and they're saying, hey, look, you know, we got these two horses here. If they come in, that's going to add a whole different, you know, structure to the Kentucky Derby, how it's run, who's in it, you know. Then you start talking about post position and riders and, you know, how did they fare the last 2 weeks? How was the weather in Kentucky? Now all these things are really becoming important, you know, to the horse that's there. How many horses have shipped into Kentucky yet? How many are going to ship in at the last minute? There's just so many things. And whenever you get the professionals, and the only professionals I say in the business are the handicappers, because they're the ones that they know more than most of the trainers do, most of the jockeys do, because they're a study for them to do. So that's going to be interesting to see. The field of 24 betting interests will be announced April the 5th. The three-day pool will run April 7th through the 9th and close prior to the first road to the Kentucky Derby Championship Series race that Saturday afternoon. Races scheduled to be run here next week from this weekend are the Wood Memorial Stakes presented by Resorts World Casino, the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes, and the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby. So those are three key races that might, you know, next week we'll talk about, show somebody that's outstanding or somebody that might be coming there. But to be honest with you, we're in the same boat next week as we are this week. We don't really have any outstanding, you know, horses to run in this year's Kentucky Derby, because that field is going to probably be the most spread out and equally talented field that has run in the Kentucky Derby in years. It's going to be quite an interesting week, weekend, to see what happens. If Secret Oath comes out this weekend, and if she destroys that Arkansas Derby field, which she could do, if she does that, then you're looking at the solid favorite for the Kentucky Derby, no matter what happens at the Wood Memorial, Santa Anita, races, or the Bluegrass. That will be a definite, for sure, you know, this horse should and could and will win the Kentucky Derby in 2022. That's what, you know, we're looking at. And so that's the common thread that I've been talking about, you know, over the last few months here, you know, on our At the Wire show on Thursdays. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they go and where they go and who they are. And you can all catch up on all that on intv.org this weekend. And see what's going on, watch it live, and just kind of take it from that point on. So we're getting about ready to get out of time here. We hope you enjoyed the show. We hope you get out and see an equestrian event in your area. Get out and support the equestrians, because people don't really realize that how important the equestrian industry is to the community. They're the people that shop at the Walmarts and the Burger Kings and the grocery stores, Kroger's, Targets, Walmarts. They get hotels, they rent cars, they go to the doctor, they rent houses, apartments. You know, you name it, they're a big contribution to the community that these events are in. So go to Google and Google horse events for your area and attend a horse event this weekend. You know, in your area, plan your vacations around it. So we enjoyed the day today. Have a good time this weekend. This is Scott Miller from the International Equine Report.